We are joined by a gentleman who was a pretty good hockey player, eighth overall selection of the Montreal Canadiens, and played pro hockey for many years. Many of you might now know him not only on Frontier, if you remember Frontier, but also recently playing the character Hitch on Shorzy, the hockey show. Terry Ryan, good friend of the show. He's live in the Velvet Dungeon. Terry, how you doing?
I'm loving the Velvet Dungeon. Thanks for having me, and I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you.
And here's a true story. So Terry, I was like, I texted him, are you here? He's like, dude, I think I'm at the wrong house. Because he came, but he didn't want to knock because I just told him, come down the side house. And he did. He came all the way back to the hot tub struts. He just didn't go the extra step.
Well, I looked in. I didn't want to walk in. I had the feeling all of a sudden there's nothing, no indication that anybody was even here. There's no cars out front, no sport other than a basketball net. You would never know. I looked in, feel like I'm spying in. I didn't see a studio. Saw a bunch of weights or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
It looks calming.
Not
that
much weight.
It doesn't feel like a studio. It feels like a nice place to relax. But, of course, a good studio is exactly that. I didn't want to walk into a situation that, you know, could have gone sideways.
Yeah. You don't want to. I'm sure you've done that a few times.
I have.
In the book. Oh, yeah. I know. I read the book. Yeah. So, man. So, you go from hockey player, you're author, now you're an actor. Tell us how you, like, how did you get in? Because you're officially, look, you got your IMDb page. Like, you're officially in. How did you get into, to Shorzy? Let's tell us how
a lot of people don't realize, because, I mean, I was in the acting union. I'm the only one of us that was already in there. I'd done a lot of acting. So I started, I got into it. It wasn't a total fluke, but it was definitely not planned. I went back to school in 2009 in Memorial University, and I took folklore and English. And it was those folklores that are storytelling. Really, there's a lot to unpack there, but you know, storytelling's part of it. And I was writing a book, and English kind of helped me. So I took those courses. I ended up with the degree, but I took some film courses while I was in there. And I was actually accepted to do education at Memorial University, but there was a show, Republic of Doyle, that really picked up steam. And my good buddy Alan Hawko is the main actor, and he writes, and he's part of Take the Shot Productions that produces it. So I got in there as a production assistant, and, you know, I was hard working, hard work, low end of the totem pole for 4 or 5 years. It was decent money. I didn't ever go back in to do education. I had a family to raise. And then I talked my way into some stunts. And in 2016, people might out there understand or know the show, I've heard of Frontier, starring Jason Momoa. That was all shot in Newfoundland, and we went over to Europe for a little bit. But the very, very, very first scene in Frontier is me begging for my life. They needed someone that was it called for a beat-up British soldier. And I fit the part with the tooth, right? And a lot, and you know, there's
because you're missing the front tooth.
Yeah, right. So they like that, and it's that's not easy to reproduce with hair and makeup, and someone had to do it. And when you're in Newfoundland, we have some studios there now. The film industry is it's one of the hidden gems in the film industry in the world now. We're talking a lot of trap. Ben Stiller just came the other just scouted location. We got studios. We got 2-3 major shows being filmed there right now: Hudson and Rex, Son of a Critch, and Surreal Estate. And when they're not being filmed, people come in and rent out the studio.
Wow.
It is a well-oiled machine. So all that was happening, so I was the result of good timing as well. But the way I understand it, I can't speak for directors or production companies or casting agents or any of that, but, you know, I know that the actors that come in often to do stunts and stuff, they come from away, you know, Toronto a lot, sometimes from Hollywood, wherever, you know, come from all over the world, really. But if you can have a Newfoundlander pull it off, you know, you would save yourself a lot of money on hotels.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it. And
it's totally true.
So, you know, most of the words. So I got in there. I only had three words: please have mercy. And that was the very beginning of the show. But then I got into the stunts. Moa got me into a lot of fighting stunts, and he took me over to Europe. And I was a stunt double in Brave in one of his movies. We did season 3. I kind of changed my look, and I was in Frontier a lot in season 3. Then that led to Hudson and Rex, Little Dog. I was in a couple of short movies. I wrote a short film myself. A lot of people ask me about it. It's called The Stand-In. I put it up on YouTube. And I didn't do it. I didn't enter it in any film festivals. I just sent it to a bunch of directors, and I figured, what do I have to lose? But no one's ever going to give me a good role. So I wrote a short film. It's pretty poignant, to say the least. I'm the only character. and it's about 8 minutes long. And I just said, this is what I'm going to do, man. I was just, because I wrote
What's
it.
What's the link? We're going to shout it out later. What's the
It's
link?
Called the Stand-In.
Okay.
The Stand-In, Terry Ryan, should bring you there on YouTube. And that, you know, because it's hard to get a role, man. And you know, I was going and doing some background when I needed work in Toronto. But I never would really get an audition that anybody even thought of me. But at home, you know, I got to know people, and it was stunts more than anything. And sometimes you're a stunt double, but, you know, a lot of times, I think season one, I know Hudson and Rex, it's either episode 9 or 11. I'm one of the villains. I'm gunman number one or whatever. Always a few lines, and it looks good that I got no tooth. You know, I've played a drug dealer, a pimp, a drug addict, all kinds of things that require, I guess, a badass or someone to kind of look the part, right? A lot of it's about the look.
We are back, Jason Strudwick, Terry Ryan with you as TR. Hey, the greatest part about having Terry Ryan on the show is I get paid by the word, and literally I'm making way more money when the T-Man is on the show. Strudy, you got any questions for Terry?
Well, yeah, huge fan, first time caller, but thanks for taking my call.
Who's this again?
As the guy that shut you down in junior. But no, Terry, you know, or TR, I love the show Shores. Yeah, I absolutely love it. Hitch, I think, is a perfect character for you. The whole show is funny. But I'm just really wondering, I'll hang up after after my question. But, you know, it seems so real, the fighting. Where did you, like, who taught you how to fight like that? Because obviously you didn't really do it before the show. So I'll hang up and just take your answer.
Oh, I see. Now, I seem to remember, let's see, my draft year, what did I have, 25 fights?
Did you
We
really?
Played you guys a lot. We hung out in front of the net quite a bit. But I don't recall us dropping the mitts. I don't think we did we, Struts?
Well, I didn't usually fight against the third liners, right? I was out there the big guys.
And to those listening that are curious, the year in question, I had 50 goals, and we played Kamloops the most, so... Let's just do the law of averages. Math.
I love it. No, but buddy, honestly, man, the Shoresy is so great. I'm just wondering, like, you know, obviously someone's writing it, but is there a lot of ad-libbing in there when you guys are doing it? Or is it all, you know, is it just all, this is scripted, this is how we're going to do it?
That is a great question. It's more, not ad-libbing, but we get there and it's often a lot of on the spot. But it plays on, well, there's a lot of wordplay, like Letterkenny. So, I mean, it's not that they sit there and say don't, and a few times it happened, but usually, and I know Jared does most of the writing, and, you know, he's got a group of writers that help him, and, you know, being around, I don't want to answer for him, but it seems to me that we stick to that path for the most part. Now, Strud's, my case is a little bit different. I'll tell you something now. Newfoundland has a lot of different dialects, right? So Jarrett Kiso is a big fan of Coldwater Cowboys. He even mentions it a few times in the show. And he being the writer, he ad-libs a little bit, right? And I'm comfortable with that. I never, unless someone tells me to do it, which is often the case, I like sticking to the plan because I'm like, someone wrote this and they're probably going to tell me, and I'm not Robert De Niro, right? So I like sticking to the plan, except Jarrett would, like, one of my first lines, it said center heist on the script. And because in Newfoundland, you often drop H's. Like Ed Hurley would be head early to someone out around the bay, right? But yeah, Ryan, is he heady early or what? Right? Like, there's a real different flavor to, like, say the Southern Shore than it is to Harbor Grace, where Danny Cleary's from. St. Anthony, they say, St. Anthony, go get the milk and the heel, right? It's all a reverberation of Irish, kind of old Irish, old English, but it's got different dialects. So I had to pick a part or an area in Newfoundland. Like, I had to go with one. So I said, Jarrett, you're writing this looking at Coldwater Cowboys thinking that's the way Newfoundlanders talk, but it's the way some Newfoundlanders talk. You know, there's different, like a townie sounds way different than someone from Cornerbrook, then sounds way different than someone from Grand Falls. So I said, I'm going to take all of this. And when you're going to feed me the lines, and I'll read them back to you as if, or I'll say them back to you, that comes natural. And I picked a guy, his name is Tony Fowlow. Those from Newfoundland that are listening that have been to Mount Pearl, he drove the Zamboni. He's a legend for years in Mount Pearl. And like everybody knows him. You look it up, Tony Fowlow. And he recently had a stroke. I actually, anyway. So, and we call him Fonts. And we all used to imitate him growing up, right? Kind of to get his goat when we go to the rink. Well, I mean, when we're kids, 7, 8, 9. And he speaks really slowly. Look at Ryan coming near. La, with his skate, stinks he's number one. La, like, he would go real slow, and he'd be really sarcastic. But I knew how to imitate him in my head. So I just sped that up, and I didn't really have to think about it. And Jarrett was pretty comfortable with that. We met in a place. But I don't ever say something or try to create something without telling him. Now, is he open to it? 100%. Very rarely did we go to do a scene in the dressing rooms, especially, and it stay as it was. We might do it, and then he'll go, geez, you know, that was pretty good. And remember that story you were telling me, Morasti, last night? Boys, what was that? You know what? We're going to get that in there. So, and a lot of the chirps, I notice, are kind of on the spot. It'll just say, like, chirp, and Jarrett will come up with something. I'm sure he's got a few, but there's room for creativity. I'm not bold enough yet to just start ad-libbing, to long answer to your short question.
Well, and that's fair, and I understand that. It's I do like the dialect factor, because you want it to be too authentic. And I think people that have never been to the East Coast, like, I remember when I worked in the oil field and we'd have Newfoundlanders. And what I found was, and I still remember this guy, Fernando, the first time I was working with him. And then all of a sudden there was Dion. And when the two Newfies got together, it was like a whole, I was just like, what?
Yeah, that's a different game.
Like, what is going on? Right? Like, so for you, like, your natural accent, I know if you and I have a few beers, it comes out more.
Yeah.
But did you have to work to get rid of it? And is that a bad thing in a way? Because that's who you are authentically.
My accent is, I think, fairly unique in that it's a blend. Because, like, when I left to go to BC, I was a kid with no confidence, really. I didn't even know what I was getting into. I knew that I was a good player. I had an opportunity. But I played peewee in Newfoundland with no hitting. Like, you know, I'd never been to second base with a girl. I played video games. Never had a beer. Like, you know, and I had to go and play junior A in a real tough league, in a real tough town. So I had no confidence. And I think maybe that I didn't want to be embarrassed. And not that you should be embarrassed to be in Newfoundland with that accent. But at the time, for a kid, no globalization of the internet. Everybody was laughing at me, you know. Here's a...
This is in 1992.
Yeah, 91-92 season. So I think it was subconscious that I started to slow down. But then you can't really, you know, you can take the kid out of Newfoundland.
100%.
Can't take Newfoundland out of the kid. And after a while, you know, just... After a while, it just landed somewhere in the middle. You know, and then you go to Montreal and things. But wherever I landed, it's not that I'm not proud of it. I just often, when I do things like this, it might sound a little bit more slowed down and mainlander, quote-unquote mainlander-ish, if I can use that word. But when I'm home, it's not Teddy Hitchcock. It's not too far of a cry from what I sounded like growing up.
But don't you find it when you get back around kind of, you know, other new, it just, it's amazing how it just comes out. It's no different than, and Stretti's talked about this. You get a few Finnish guys in the locker room and all of a sudden they're just comfortable and it just, they're natural, you know, how they
100%,
speak comes out.
Yeah. And I think, and that's it. Actually, it's funny you say this, but I was speaking with Jarrett because Jarrett and I would speak a lot about it because he didn't want to embarrass Newfoundlanders. It was a fine line, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, for a while we were the brunt of jokes, and we brought it on ourselves. We would tell Newfie. I mean, the word Newfie, when I was coming out, it wasn't really a big deal. It was a term of endearment to me. I think now they take it a bit, there's a bit of a slight. It depends how you use it, right? Like anything.
Yeah.
But it was a bit like, it was like Polish jokes. I don't really think they're in good taste anymore either. You know, I mean, Newfoundlanders just screwing a light bulb and all that crap. But, you know, after a while, and that was also in the 90s before we opened our tourism doors and this film took off and the internet, and it really showed how wonderful of a province we have. Now the accent, I think, is like a badge of honor. You know, this is where I come from. This is my unique part of Canada, and people are really proud of it. But for Shorzy, Jarrett was very clear. He's like, we want it to be funny. Sometimes you're going to have to be indecipherable. That's the joke.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be laughing at Hitch. I was really happy because I'm telling you right now, I'd have done it anyway. It was an opportunity, and I was just hoping that this guy would have some level of balance to him that wasn't just the typical Newfie. And I love that Jarrett did that. I love that he's concerned about it, and I love that we get to talk about it. I look forward when I'm there to going into work, and not everybody can say that. And I pinch myself every day that I'm at it because I can't believe I got so fortunate.
joined by Terry Ryan here on the Jason Greggs Show on TSN 1260. TR, do you feel like you have more control over your acting career, or did you have more control over your hockey career?
My God, is that a deep, great question.
I'm on fire, buddy. I'm on fire.
Right. He wrote his questions down before he came in today.
Yeah, well, ready you know, go. My hockey career, I'll never blame the guy, whatever, but Mike Barnett was my agent, right? He was Gretzky's agent, and he was good for getting your money when you got drafted, but it's not like I could ever really call him, or I didn't feel like I had any choice. And when I wanted to hold out of Montreal, like, it was never for money. I just wanted to trade. I saw all my friends getting traded. It was the beginning of the end, really. And I called him. He said, sure. Like, he didn't really give it much thought. And I was like, wow. And I remember, like, 3 months later, I phoned him. I'm like, Mike, I'm in Long Beach, man. Like, they don't know what to do with me. They don't know whether to sign me because they think I'm going to be gone. He said, well, go to Utah. So I went to Utah for 7 games. I didn't know what to do. And I called him. You know what he said to me? He said, well, maybe you should make the move to left wing. And I was a left winger. I was going, holy shit, this guy doesn't know what position I play.
Oh,
I'm in Utah with Mick Fakoda next to me. With his, I remember, like, you know, because Mick was with me in Montreal for a bit. And he was like, no, dude, he goes, you got to, like, figure this out. And I was like, yeah, man, that's Mike Barnett. He doesn't know what position I play. Let alone, and, like, is that what you're going to say, Mike, that, like, that's the thing that I'm doing wrong? I'm in Utah, and you're going to go, oh, go left wing, and now I'm going to go up to the NHL? Like, I thought he had a plan for me. But anyway, I get it, though. I needed to be more proactive. I made a lot of mistakes. I blew a lot of money. I just didn't know how to handle myself. It was a young age. So I didn't feel like I had much control, no. In this acting, especially, and it was kind of like that at first because I just take any opportunity possible. But once you get in the union and you get to know people and you know some directors, like today I did an audition, just at dinner, you know, a guy fired me a script and said, maybe you'll be good for this guy, and maybe I won't. Most of the time you don't get it. You got to be used to failure too, right? Like, right in, you go in for an audition and you can really at times embarrass yourself, you know, if you don't have thick skin. So you just got to get used to it, and I love it because now I look at what's out there, and you know, I'm saying the same thing from a crew level too. I look at opportunities. I might go to Toronto for 2 weeks, work on Star Trek as a set decker or something, and that's also part of it. So I do feel like I have a little bit more flexibility with this industry.
It's a great question, and yeah, the Mike Barnett story. Wow. It is one way, and if you could take a, you know, a Terry Ryan now who is 45?
Yeah, 45.
So a 45 Terry, man, like the amount of experience you have in life, it would be amazing. You could go back to the 22-year-old and say, you know what, if your agent's not looking out for you, beat it. You'll find another one, and away you go. But obviously it's easier in hindsight,
yeah,
about it, Terry. And it is, you know what, the other thing is you have a natural gift for gab, right? Like, you're a good storyteller. You got a good personality. You're not afraid to put yourself out there. Hey, I made some mistakes. You know what? I screwed up. You take ownership of what happened. And people like, I think, because even when I told people who were coming on, yeah, I'm a big Terry Ryan fan because he's funny, but like, he's real. Right. And like, and the best example I had recently was Joaquin Gage's roast.
Oh God! Yeah,
and so for people who are at the roast, Strutty was there. And for people who don't, so here's Terry Ryan.
Unreal.
And so Terry Ryan for the roast, he wasn't able to make it in, and you kind of knew Gager, but you didn't really know Gager.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Terry's roast is him walking around his backyard, like videoing himself, but he's like, I can tell you did a lot of takes to make sure that was
right,
good,
yeah.
And you spliced it up. But here he is, he's walking around, and there's not very many people. I'm watching that, I'm like, there's not many people that can walk and talk like that, literally walk and talk, hold the phone so it's not vibrating, it's not shaking. You know, it's not like Strutty's favorite horror movie that he can't watch because it's too scary for him. And but yeah, the Blair Witch Project, and then the RuPaul joke. Seriously, like every time I see Gager now, that's all I think of.
You know,
is RuPaul. But I wanted to. So since like that should be your demo tape, you should be like, you could be a roaster because, dude,
well,
it was one. And the thing that I liked about it was you didn't go to the gutter jokes and just drop F bombs, which is really easy to do.
It is easy
funny,
to do,
but you didn't do that.
You know, I'll tell you this. So I do. I've done. I only signed up for Cameo like a couple months ago. But there's so many hardcore Shoresy fans. I've done like 60 something of them, and most people do. That's what they want. They want me to roast them.
Okay.
So I'll tell you this. Like, and I'd like to try to do a good job. And where all that comes from, like even my books, like those are journals that I wrote. I write because I have anxiety. I don't know. I look at it. you know, everybody's over medicated now. I've never gone to the doctor for it, but I'm sure I have either OCD or ADHD or some level of it. But I've just always, and I, you know, so I feel often I get 2 hours of sleep in a night. That happens frequently. Very rarely do I get more than five. Just a part of me. But when I do those things, I get a chance because I'm going to write anyway, right? I'm going to do something. So I sit down at those things and I can put in an hour or two and it's freeing from my mind. A lot of people would look at even a research paper in school. A lot of people go, oh man, I got to do that. But sometimes I'm like, give me something to do, man. Yeah, like, okay. Right? And get my mind going because otherwise it's just racing in places I don't want it to. It's like a dog that you got to take for a walk, man. Like, So that's the way my brain works. So it actually helps. I enjoy doing that. And the form, like, I'm glad you noticed, honestly. And I do appreciate it because I do take time to do it. But it's honestly as self-serving as it is, you know, generous.
No, it's true though. Like Stratty and I, we were both laughing about it. It's like, oh my God, like because Stratty's a pretty witty guy, right? And I think I'm a pretty witty guy too. But
yeah,
like we were both watching. I was just like, oof.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be in a backyard, first of all, like not my backyard. I mean, I thought you guys were all getting together or in someone's
basement.
Oh,
you just thought it was like a bunch of fun guys.
Yeah, maybe at a bar for his birthday. I didn't know people were sending me film from the event. Where was it? Where did it take place?
At
the Fairmont. Yeah. So I didn't know.
The Marriott.
Fairly nervous because I was like, oh God, this is what I'm going on to. And I just nervous from the fact that I didn't want to offend anybody. Because again, I knew Gager through Sandman, but I didn't know him really well. Not well enough to start roasting him.
Now, if you got to roast Struds or Sandman, who would be an easier target? And that Sandman is Taran Sandwith.
Well, yeah. Well, the Struds, I think it's all on the surface. It's all obvious. So you're going to go to his hair. You're going to go to his pants. You're going to go to his style. And it's already been done. But Sandman got some skeleton, what's the word? Not bad attributes, but vulnerabilities, maybe.
Okay.
I think I could really go to town on Sandman if I had to.
Oh.
In fact, you're giving me an idea. He took us, a bunch of us, we got together and we went to Nashville. It was a bunch of extras.
Well, for his 50th birthday party.
Yeah, it was great. So now you're giving me an idea. I got 6 months to roast him for his next birthday party, which I should have done then.
Yeah,
so you
should have. I can't believe you didn't.
Well, it's going to be done now.
Yeah, that was a fail.
Now, Struds, of course, we got to come up with something there, but he's not getting inducted to any Hall of Fames or anything. Gager was an award, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, Strutty actually was the original roaster. We roasted Strutty. Yeah. Right? So the kids' sport
was the
Struds roast. But, you know what? Oh, trust me. There's lots of material on Struds. We probably could do it again. And I think there'd be a lineup of people that want to do it. We'd have to fly you in though live. Cause I think I would like to have Terry Ryan live in the room for the roast next time.
I would absolutely enjoy that. I'm going to take that as an invitation.
Oh, 100%, dude. I will make that happen to have you. I actually think Terry Ryan is a roast master for somebody's roast.
But you know what? We're just knocking off ideas left and right here. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Because you're you're a quick thinker on your feet, right? Like when you hear certain stories of stuff, and then you got, because you'd have a script, you'd be prepared for sure. Like now you're in the what's it called? You're in the actors. What's it called?
The union.
ACTRA. The union. Yeah. ACTRA. Is that just all it is?
Jeez, it's called ACTRA.
That's not. What's it called?
ACTRA. ACTRA.
Oh, ACTRA. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're in the ACTRA. Yeah. So I know you'd take it serious, but you also could ad lib based on what you just heard for a few seconds.
I think a lot of Newfoundlanders could ad lib more than in most places.
Really?
Yeah, I do. But just because we're chirpy, like people chirp like a hockey dressing room within families. You know, it goes on a lot. It's just.
Struds, are you part Newfie?
I don't know. Pretty good time. I don't know if I can keep up with those guys. I've been there a couple times, and they are a lot of, and they're funny. And what I like is that they're there for a good time. Like I love the you know, like the guys I played with from there. They just have the best energy, right? And I find it contagious.
Very. We're self-deprecating as a group, and I think it's just. And I don't mean that we don't have any confidence. It's just, you know, you look at life and you take it with a grain of salt, tongue in cheek, like, you know. We could be gone tomorrow. You know, we're living in a great time. And Newfoundland has had some real, real hard times, man. Like, we're just getting over the cod moratorium that sunk everybody in the 90s, man. Like, I left at a bad time. But never, when you talk to people, it didn't feel like that. And that's just the way we are. I'm very proud of it. But I tell you, like, you know, the oldest, St. John's is the oldest city in North America, okay? And then, say, where Danny Cleary's from, Harbor Grace, part of Harbor Grace, Cupid's, is the oldest settlement. European, of course. We don't want to talk about everything that happened before that. There was lots of injustices that happened. I just mean European settlers, 1600, right? You're talking St. John's was settled in 1605. A lot of these towns have the same people. The Cleary name in Harbor Grace goes back like hundreds and hundreds of years. So what you get is these people that, think about it, before electricity and everything, right? Like, you've got to have people that stick together. Games, traditions, mummering. You know, people know what I'm talking about there if they're from home at Christmas time. You just dress up and you disguise yourself and you just go to random houses and drink and people let you in. And it's a real, it's a feeling of, it's almost a freedom. Like you really feel free to be able to hang out like that and you feel special. You know, you feel like the community overall is your family. So, and, you know, within that comes ribbing. It comes quick. We've always had to defend ourselves. I mean, I went to Cornell, BC, man. No one wanted me there at first. I told the teammates supported me after, but, like, they didn't want some Newfoundlander coming out. I was taking a local spot that could have gone to college or the WHL. So you got to learn how to think on your feet. You know, a lot of us, we leave home, right? We're in a new place. Think about, I think every province has a Newfoundland bar in it, but it's not like, you know, I go down to St. John's and there's a bar, Saskatchewan bar. I'm not saying people from Saskatchewan aren't proud of where they're from, but Newfoundland has a real different, distinct feel to it. And part of that, I've always found, is quick-wittedness. Within my family, you wouldn't think that I was any more witty than anybody else, and that's the truth, right? And a lot of people just, if you follow along with my life or career, you know my dad, then look at him. That's no different. His whole family's like that, right? So, and I, at some point, you take pride in that because it's positive energy, really.
Terry Ryan joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. He's in town. He's actually having a meet or greet later tonight. We'll get to that. Also, he's going to be the Reg Dunlop of his road hockey team, from what I understand. And he will give us his best one-liner chirps for Taran Sanwith and maybe even Struds. And also, Struds, do you want to have a sing-off? With because Struds, he views himself as quite a singer, Terry.
I moved in on his territory last night.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
did a little
so,
bit. Yeah.
Struds, do you want to have a sing-off when we come back?
Well, I'm going to probably need about 50 minutes to warm up the organ.
Yeah, well, you got five. Right?
There is our fundraiser. Me and Struds, sing-off.
Oh,
hey, there you go. Three songs each. Get a band.
Three songs each.
There you go.
I don't know. I'll tell you right now. Struddy had a four-minute shift. I don't think he could do three songs, though.
Oh,
right? He had a four-minute shift. I don't think he could sing three songs.
Maybe a nice medley.
When I sing Wagon Wheel, I sound like Darius Rutger.
Wow. So you're pretty confident, Struds.
I've done it before. I've done it
when,
in front of a crowd.
And when you say you sing it, where do you sing it and when?
I did it at a live band. It was a fundraiser. This is about 10 years ago. I did it in front of a
live
audience. And the people, honestly, they were throwing like hats at me, bras, everything. It was crazy. Crazy. Even a pair of boxers came
I'm
up
starting
on
to. Do we have any evidence of this?
Terry, we're going to take a break. Strati's going to wake up from his dream, and then we'll return on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. You're listening to the Gregor Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca.
I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, mama, rock me.
Oh, that's going to show up well.
Hey, now, hey, Cons, do we have the audio from last night?
I can grab it. Will I find it? Do you just want to hear one more song?
Yeah,
Let the people decide.
Yeah, here. Well, here's one more for you, Tara.
Oh, jeez, this is good. Get the Kleenex up.
It's a little bit funny.
Oh, nailed
this. This feeling inside.
I'm not one of those
who can
easily
hide.
Oh. Oh, boy.
I don't have much money. But boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live.
Oh, woo! Nailed it!
Oh, boy.
I'm watching Terry's reaction right now. I wish I could. I should have videoed your reaction.
I closed my eyes and I pictured a wounded duck with bronchitis.
I thought
it
was pretty good.
Like. That's the highest compliment I can give you.
To be fair, I was singing like I didn't have their audio. I had a different track, so it's not quite on the same. But I mean, the quality and the pitchlessness of it.
Who knows? Music's going in a different direction today. Maybe Struts is exactly what people want to hear.
Oh God, it's some of our. Oh man, that's some of the best strutty singing we've had on the show.
And that's up there.
So Tara, quickly, where's your meet and greet tonight?
Canadian Brew House at 7 p.m. So we're just going to kick back, have a few drinks, talk hockey, talk whatever, talk Shorzy. And I got a lot of friends, like I said, out this way, from not only from Newfoundland that I used to play hockey with. Almost our entire team, the whole time I was in Tri-Cities, was from.
So you got a lot of buddies, and you guys were at the Lewis.
20% weren't, but you know, most people were from Edmonton.
You're at the Lewis Estates location tonight. It's at 7 o'clock, and you're also in town for a big charity fundraiser for you're playing. Well, now your coach playing. I hear you're player coach. Like, dude, you're 45 now. Like, are you more coach or player?
No, I'm all right. The boys are. The Sandman's 5 years older than me. I know he just had his 50th, and I know we got a few older
dude,
cats.
Dude, I was golfing. Can I ask you a serious question? Like, how can somebody who's a professional athlete be so bad at golf?
Are you asking me? Because I'm bad at golf.
No. Have you ever golfed with Taran?
No, but I don't golf.
Oh, okay, but you don't golf. That's okay. But it's like he swung and like he's kind of a mixture of Charles Barkley's swing, where it was like he would swing but then pause and then swing again. It was utterly amazing. I'm like, you're 6'3". You know, you're a handsome lad. You're pretty strong. He could not.
Like, yeah, I would have guessed differently because I've stayed with him quite frequently. I always got his golf clubs on the go.
Yeah. No.
I play too much ball hockey in the summers.
Oh, so are you going to be a ringer in this ball hockey tournament?
Well, I mean, who knows? But someone's going to have to lend me gear. I almost missed my flight. Sandman booked my flight as Terrence James. Now my last name is Ryan, but my middle name is William James. So I slept in on top of that. So see this jacket? I got this, 3 T-shirts, 1 pair of jeans, my boots, and that's all I have. I got ready in about 10 minutes.
Pair of boots. Now, are we talking
cowboy
like
boots? Always.
Always.
I've got probably 20 pairs. No joke. I love them.
Strutty, do you have any pairs of cowboy boots?
Yeah, one.
Just one.
You only get a Westerner. Well, when you get it right, you only need one pair, right?
And it's funny because the first bar I ever saw Struts at was at Cowboys.
Golly. Now, here's
Cowboy
the thing.
I don't think he had.
Are your jeans as tight as Struts?
No, but no. If I'm, it depends what situation I'm in. If I'm.
You'll go with the Kramers?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
So, no, not the Kramers. Tight's one thing. Kramers is quite.
Well, that's what
Struts. What's the word? Not long enough.
No, Strutty likes to roll with the Kramers.
I like the Dwight Yoakams.
Dwight Yoakams.
Show off the lower body area, and you know, it's got confidence, got a bit of a swagger, and it always looks better in boots.
Yeah,
right. In my experience,
are you now in Shorzy? You guys, and by the way, the road hockey event is the ball hockey is a road hockey, whatever you guys are calling it. It's going on all weekend. It's at the Select Engineering office. There's 10 teams.
Yes.
It goes this weekend. Canadian Brew House is going to be serving food and drinks all day. They're raising money for the Urban Selects for the Alzheimer's tournament. It's a fantastic tournament, which I think I'm going to say it right now as somebody who's one of the organizers of that tournament. I think we need a Terry Ryan appearance in the Pro-Am Alzheimer's. Right?
It's
former NHLers.
I came in one year.
Yeah.
I was here 1 year for it, but not as an appearance. I just happened to be in town and I played with
Sam. Yeah, well, I know. We rode on the bus.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah. But I'd love to.
Yeah, you were a little bit more. I was sober, clearly, because I remember it.
And I wasn't. yeah. Yeah, you're right. But that was I actually had a lot of fun. Any reason that I can get back here? Like I said, I got a lot of friends, so I'm open for whatever. Those listening, hey, you want to fly me in and do an appearance? Let's talk.
Well, so, now you're a big deal, right? Like, Shorzy, like, does your appearance fee go up now that you're on Shorzy? How's that work?
My appearance fee, it's the thing. I've got no agent, no website or anything. It's just happenstance. People phone and...
There's not even a TerryRyan.com? Like, get a simple one, dude.
I know. I got to do it. I'm so busy. It's coming someday. But I guess I'm busy for the right reasons nowadays, so
okay.
But that will come soon. But I do, you know, the alumni sets you up with some stuff, but usually, I'll tell you something, guys. You want a nugget of information? Struts, you're not going to believe this. So the alumni calls me the other day, right, the NHL alumni. Now, I never get these calls.
Yeah.
Because it's...
But now you're... now you're Hitch.
Well, right? Of course, yeah. That's what I thought, right? I'm like, okay. And you got to be relevant to some degree. I get it. It's just, you know, guys like me, the alumni has all this, you know, I go to Toronto, I'll do the odd minor event, but, you know, they want to see Wendell Clark or Darcy Tucker or Shane Court, and that makes total sense. But the guys who probably need a bit of help really never get it, you know, and I'm not asking for, like, help, because it's appearances, and I totally understand it. But, you know, we'll get an email, and it'll go like, oh, you get 5% off at Roots stores on Tuesdays in November. I'm like, man, come on, you know. Or here's a course that you can get for 75% off at Ryerson about, you know, I don't know, directing traffic. I mean, I get it. These are things that I wouldn't have, but I don't need any of it. So it's really odd when I get called from the alumni with a request. So, and again, none of that is a complaint. It makes total sense. So, I said, okay, what do I have to do? He said, go down, you know, like they're shooting this, you know, it's a hockey thing, like, you know, they're shooting this commercial. It's like a hockey fight thing, you know, and I was thinking, okay, it's all camera placement, right? I've gotten in a few of those. We just did some stunts on Hudson and Rex, hockey-wise. The camera's behind your head, the way you take the punch, you know, you can miss by almost a foot and make it still look good. So that's what I thought was happening. I get a call from the people yesterday. I'm going down Wednesday to Boston to film this commercial. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting in a UFC-style hockey fight for 4 rounds for 1 minute with a random person that I don't know, and they're going to film that and send it to the UFC because I guess they're interested in getting Dana White on board or whatever. I don't know if they're going to be successful, but this particular group, so I signed on for that. So that's my next week. I'm going back and I'm getting in a full-on hockey fight at 45 years old. I don't know where it's going to go. And I'm like, thanks, alumni. You know, thanks a lot. Yeah, they for having my back on this one.
Strutty, did you get a call for that? Like, geez, come on.
Yeah, no one even did because they know no one's going to do it.
I don't want to get beat up anymore.
So you actually have to do it like a real, like, is it?
It pays well. I don't want to get into it. And that's what I said at first. I thought I was going down to do like a commercial and like a speech. I do some public speaking. I used to do stand up, but that's its own world.
And it's hard.
That morphed into public. So I'm doing the same thing. I'm only telling stories. So if it's not a hockey group, you know, I'm kind of screwed. So, but you know, just randomly doing stand up comedy. Jerry D got me into it and there was a reason. It was a means to an end. So. It was hard work, though, man. Like, I was really nervous. I didn't like going out to do it. But Dale Howarchuk, God rest his soul, he, you know, it's like the alumni within the alumni. He was living in, he had golf tournaments and stuff, and he would have me go. So it morphed into public speaking. I'm doing the exact same act, but I'm just telling hockey stories to hockey players, which works more than random stand-up. So anyway, things like that have happened over the years, and I'm joking with the alumni have been great to me, really. I mean, just to be included is an honor. But... You know what I'm saying? It's like normally, like you would. You want to have the big stars that you grew up watching and everything else. And there's sometimes, like someone, they flew me in a couple of years ago to Halifax. And this group just, I thought I had to speak. And they just said, no, we're golfing. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? They're just get drunk with us and golf. I was like, okay, 3 days straight, good money. Just get drunk with this group. Tell stories, get on a plane, and go home. That kind of thing happens to me. It's the odd podcast listener and now Shorzy watcher or whatever. So I enjoy all those appearances. Don't get me wrong. I just wasn't ready to throw down MMA style out of nowhere, too. It's not like I've been training for it. You know what I mean? 4 rounds, like, of 1 minute doesn't sound like a lot for a boxer. But for a hockey fight, a minute hockey fight's long.
Oh.
You know? So, I mean, whoever I'm fighting is probably training for it. You know, they got those things. It's like the one that was here a little while ago at River Creek.
Oh, the Gladiator.
I don't think it's the same people, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, good luck in that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to need it, aren't
I? Maybe you should do an Instagram live for it.
Well, maybe I will. Who knows? It's going to be a story in my next book.
Stretty, why don't you go with him?
No, I'm a pacifist now, buddy. I couldn't beat up anybody. I couldn't do it. I'd love to cheer, though. I'd cheer you on for sure.
Oh, I can't believe I'm even talking. I can't believe the words "hockey fighter" coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, because anyway, like the last real hockey fight you got in was what, 15? Well, more than that. Right?
No. I fought. Newfoundland is a great senior league. We got 2 Allen Cups in the last 10 years. I fought Darren Langdon 6-7 years ago in his last year, twice. Fought
in senior hockey.
Oh, lots of fights. Yeah, it's not a goon league. Like, it's not what you. There are leagues out there in Canada. We all know that are straight up. You fight. No, I never got in more than 5 in a season, but no, it's paid.
You're
league.
Fighting Darren Langdon?
Yeah, paid league, good money. Yeah, good money. All on the board, too. I'm not saying we play for money, but people are well compensated in the Newfoundland Senior League. Well, the last year I played, I played last year for the St. John's Caps, but there's
at 40, you're the Jaromir Jagr over there.
Maybe of that. Yeah, there's no one else in their 40s in the league. It's a good league. Like, and we have an input before the pandemic, okay, because again, that screwed with everything, but. Right before that, I played in Gander. Our imports, one of them was Aaron Asham.
Okay.
And we had 4 more. We had a goalie and 3 more great players, pro, major, junior. One of the guys, we had Greg Stewart from the Canadians. We cut him. I'm serious. Wait, if you, those who follow it, follow the Allen Cup, like it's pretty much at this point semi-pro. So guys enjoy it because they got jobs. And again, when I first started playing, I didn't want to retire from pro hockey. I had a bad ankle. So I went back, and the league wasn't as good. The leading scorer would get, like, 4 points a game, but now it's not. Like, for example, Aaron Asham came in his first year, played 2, I think, in Gander, and he was in the Stanley Cup final the year before with the Rangers. It's not like and he's a great player. He had 45 twice in junior. I think Aaron had 30 points in 24 games. I think the leader had Cam Fergus had 36. So that's often the way I judge it. You look at guys who dominate other leagues and are playing the NHL, or Cam at 50 in junior, went to the weekend. And, each team has a lot of pro guys, major, junior. The last players on our totem pole would have played junior A. It's quite a fascinating league, man. And it changes year to year, but when everything's cooking, you got guys making good money, and for years it was like cash under the table, and a story came out, we all had to pay the piper, and it's on the board, man. It's paycheck from the team. It's pretty essentially professional hockey. That's wild.
Oh, so, I love it.
I'm not saying now the last few years, I don't go out there looking for it or anything. My last hockey fight was probably... Yeah, three years ago, right? But the last time I was actually doing it big time was probably 7 or 8 years ago. We had a few imports. Nathan Saunders, big guy, 6'3", bunch of time in the A, like type of guy, 200-300 minutes in the American League, and we had a great toe-to-toe. That was probably my... Oh, shout out to Ryan Graham. He's out there. Good Newfoundlander, one of my friends, and we threw down in Clarenville. Yeah, he played for Mount Pearl, my hometown, and he just said, hey, and one of my best friends, too. One of my best. Hey, T, why not just do it? I want to see what... And we went at it, man. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. Ryan Graham. Anyway, that's that. I don't really... there's parts of hockey that I am not excited about. I don't want to use the word afraid, but let's just say that. I don't like blocking shots. Fighting always came a little bit natural. I didn't mind taking a punch. Now that I said that, I'm going to get my orbital bone broken next week, but I just don't really mind the whole hockey fight thing. I was, it started to get a little bit strenuous, and me and Strud's coming through. Like, some of those guys were hired guns, one shift a game. That's why, I'm talking a lot. I'm rambling. You're not even asking a question, but I often wonder, because I did that. I wasn't scared of those guys, but, that was a tough era to come out and be a middleweight that really would fight anybody.
Because you were, like, at your peak, you were, like, 6'1", 210, maybe?
Yeah, and I was never comfortable even being 210. I'm 190 now, and I come to realize that, sometimes you carry too much weight. And, I guess that was good if I was fighting guys, and I was fighting guys, but that was never my motivation. When I went on the ice, I wasn't even a good hitter. I was always thinking, put the puck in the net. The Western League, I loved because people are gritty, but it didn't ever seem like there was a goon or they're, you know, like I, Struds is there. I really looked up, even though they're my age, they went in my draft, Shane Doan and Jerome McGinley. That's the way I wanted to play hockey. And I was kind of, I don't want to use the word offended because some of those goons, or I don't want to use that word either. Some of those tough guys are real good friends of mine and people underrate what they did. They were always the guys in the room to play tunes. They were the very, definitely the most charitable in my experience with their time and their money. You know, well, money, I guess, different if they're not making as much, but their time for sure. You know, first guys that they really appreciated being in the NHL, a lot of those tough guys, but it was a hard time to come through because I used to think to myself, you know, if you think I'm half as tough as this guy, why is he even here? You know, like, hockey can have fighting without having the one guy getting one shift. Again, now I'm putting down a lot of my friends that I played with, but that's just what I think. And I think it would have been a lot easier for me to go out as a player. And, you know, my first year in the American League, after missing the entire year the year before, outside of, I shouldn't say the entire year, but almost the whole year the year before, with post-concussion syndrome, a full calendar year, I was gone. I couldn't, like, it was a very bad time in my life. I got over it, but the next year I led the American League with 34 fights. Now imagine that. Now imagine how I felt in Montreal. People wonder. I mean, I'll fight. Struds knows that. In my nature, it's to go, and I don't want to take shit out there. But I don't want to get tapped. Mike Therrien tapping me on the shoulder to go fight Mark Major and Ryan Vanderbush. I'm going, what's going on here? 34 on their first-round pick. And you're going to let, imagine that. Yeah. Can you imagine that now? That you took a first-round pick and sent him down after a year with a concussion for 34 tilts and led the American League. And that's why I'm even getting fired up when I say it. Because
now you were 20 years of age.
Yeah.
That was in 1990. You were 20
years
old.
Yeah, and I managed to squeak 21
goals,
out of that.
71 games.
Yeah, with not much ice time, man.
256 PIMs.
I shouldn't say not much. I played regular, but he wasn't going out of his way to put me on the power play. Yeah, that's as good. I thought I had a great year, and I didn't want to go back, and I didn't want to play with Michel Therrien that whole year. Again, the year before, I made the Habs. Right, I just had a concussion and I had to sit, but I made it. So I thought I was down there each week. I thought it was my last week. And when they sent me down for that next year, oh man, it was so deflating. It was so deflating. And I went in and I asked Mr. Houle. He's a friend of mine now. Look, water under the bridge. My life is, I can't complain about my life. But I went in and, you know, I asked him. I said, well, why did you draft me in the first round? He said, I didn't. Serge Savard did. I would never have drafted you. We wouldn't have drafted you. We're going for speed now. And I was like, well, why don't you trade me?
Yeah.
As he says this, Darcy Tucker, my roommate, gets traded to Tampa. Now, I'm not insulting Tux by saying, I'm just saying I'm that style. If Tux went down and immediately became a star, in my eyes, I'm like, I just want to play on the fourth line somewhere. I just want to play in the NHL, right? Like, just I deserve to play in the NHL after that. And it was, you know, one thing led to another. I didn't go back to camp. And then I went on a whirlwind of a ride, of which my agent thought I was a centerman. And, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, but now I'm on Shoresy and I'm loving life and I got a great daughter. I have unbelievable friends and I'm back in Edmonton in the most positive of circumstances. So don't mistake any of that frustration with, like, regret. You know, that just happened at the time. And looking back, I can't believe that they treated me that way, but I'm still a huge fan of the organization and I can't believe I played for the Habs. It was a great time.
Terry, we always love having you on the show, man. Appreciate you coming in. Good luck at the tournament. Try to. I know your back might get a little bit sore carrying the Sandman around in road hockey. And tonight at Lewis Estates, the Brew House, 7:00. The PG-13 quasi R-rated stories from Terry Ryan for people who want to go down there and have some fun. You're always welcome back on the show. We love to have you.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'd like to see you guys again soon.
Maybe a sing-off with Struds.
That's definitely happening. Okay. The wheels are turning.
Okay.
I know people are out there listening. If you have an establishment that you want this to happen at, let's talk, and it'll be me versus, you want to say me versus Struds, or just a sing-off? Just, you know what? We're going to have a happy time. We're going to sing some songs, and maybe you can join us, Jason.
Hey, let's do it. I'm all in.